You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
What is happening, guys? An exciting start to this episode of Game of Thrones. But first of all, let me say that we are AfterBuzz, and Bing is for doing, and we are doing the AfterBuzz After Show of Game of Thrones. Joining me, as always, the lovely Kristen Snyder.
Hi, guys.
Simone Boyce.
Hello.
And Bethany Jaber.
Hi there.
And I am Dave Klein, and in the booth with us, Marissa!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Marissa has been a regular now. I think she has officially earned Queen of the Booth.
I think
she has gotten it.
Yes.
That makes me happy. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. You deserve it.
You know, everyone's fighting for to be king in Game of Thrones, but I really feel like now it's also going to become a battle of the queens, too, right?
Totally.
Yeah. That's true. With Cersei, and then we're seeing Catelyn.
Marjorie.
Sansa.
Marjorie, yeah.
Sansa's, like, copying Cersei because she wants to be queen.
And just kind of, she's kind of learning from her the ways of sneaky and being tricky and lying. Mm-hmm. Like the Lannister, she's becoming a Lannister. What's happening?
I know.
But I want to address something real quick for all of our fans who are on YouTube. We had some audio issues with YouTube, and we're still experiencing issues with YouTube. It's apparently a lot of YouTube partners, which is why we had to get rid of the first video and re-upload. We are sorry. We saw all the comments, and we're going to still try to address them because we love you guys, and thank you so much for commenting. So that is why there is a second video up for those who are wondering, just
and
so we could get
you guys
that.
Can also come and chat on the chat roll and watch us live. Shout out to Watchtower Base. I know you're watching.
Yes, he actually talked to you on Wednesday, didn't he?
Yes, on ABDC.
Yeah.
I joined the chat roll for a moment. It was fun.
Nice.
It was awesome.
That's how we do
it. Get in on it.
But let's get us started. We're going to start off, I know the Starks was the big hit for the episode, but because we've been starting out with the Lannisters every week, we're going to start by talking about the Lannisters and Myrcella, who is going off to be wed and crying just a little bit there.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
Well, I think what happened after that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Not to, like, brush over Myrcella's journey to Dorne, but...
Oh, I was looking forward to that scene.
Yeah.
I could not wait.
The mob scene. Okay,
the infamous mob scene.
The guy who was doing the Master of Ceremony, who gets taken into the mob and looks like they're so hungry there are a bunch of hyenas who just attack and eat
him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of his actual formal name. It's like he's not a grandmaster. It's something else. But he was appointed by the Lannisters, whereas I think usually the name, it's not clergy, but it's something similar to like a clergy and the people pick him.
Yes.
But he's totally corrupt and I guess, well, I mean, I don't think anybody's rightfully ripped apart, but...
Maybe he was.
Maybe in this world it's okay.
Did they eat him, though?
They could have.
Were they so hungry that they were eating him? It looked that way to me.
They could have. I'm glad they addressed this whole hunger issue finally. The one thing they didn't have that I wanted to see was them shouting for King Bread. Not that it was that it was a king, but that's how Tyrion thought of it in the book, was that they weren't rooting for King Joffrey, they weren't rooting for King Stark. In the end, all they wanted was bread, and it was King Bread. That's all they
that's
wanted.
Funny.
But I also felt that Tyrion was justified because he was sending Cersei's daughter to a really safe place, because right now King's Landing isn't safe.
That's
so
right.
I was like, Cersei, why are you so pissed? Your daughter's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Unless something really bad happens.
She had some really loaded words for Tyrion, and I think it's not so much just Myrcella being gone. It's like just everything that has been going on between those two. But really, I mean, Tyrion's smart, and we all know that at this point. He's sending her off to Dorne to hopefully get their support.
He notices the mob and has them take away Tommen right away.
Yeah. Which is smart, and I love that exchange between Joffrey and Tyrion. That got a lot.
I was waiting for that too.
He slapped him.
He did it multiple times in the book. It was like slapping constantly. I wanted the multiple slaps.
It was really fun to watch. And if you go back and watch it on HBO Go, they have like a flashback to the first season.
When
he slaps him three times, and I'm like, this is awesome.
You know what's gonna happen now? There was the meme with the slap from the first season. Now they're gonna combine it. So I bet we're gonna see a song coming
soon.
That's
what I'm hoping. Like a little mix.
Yeah, remix, like that intruder type thing.
I heard people really mean to Jack on the street, and they walk up to him and are like, I want to slap you.
I would think
I heard that too.
He looks nasty. Yeah. He looks like a nasty person.
I do want to point out another quick difference, because this may or may not, that's probably not that important, but it's just a character thing that I noticed, is that Myrcella in the books is actually really happy when she's going off and she's trying to be the brave one, and Tommen is the only one who's crying. Mm-hmm. Here they have it so Myrcella's crying, so they're kind of switching that up a bit. I guess just to make it sadder that she's leaving, but she's trying to be the brave. She's so brave, and they took that away.
Trying to add a little more drama, which seems like a running theme.
A lot of this episode, really. Yeah.
Can't blame them, though.
So moving forward, Sansa is being attacked by the mob, and they want to rape her. And, you know, Tyrion is like, come on, Joffrey, you have to give the order for them to go and save her. And the Hound actually just went off by himself to save her. And he even tells Tyrion after being thanked, I didn't do it for you. So who did he do it for?
For Sansa. Yeah.
I think he's just, right? The Hound's kind of just a good guy. That's what I felt, too.
I see him as the Phantom of the Opera, kind of. Like, he's this creepy. He looks like he could play the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
But he has this evil, sort of really scary persona, but down underneath it all, he has a really great heart, and he's just been burned in more ways than one.
No, and I think, you know, he was abused as a child, so, you know, he sees that abuse happening with her, and I think he gets very protective.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And I mean, he's not really. Well, he's clearly not capable of verbalizing his emotions, so he just kind of...
He grunts and saves her.
I love how he calls her a birdie and says, take her back to her cage. It's like he's called the Hound, and it's like his language is very animalistic.
Yeah, it's also like they refer to it as the nest, too, a lot of times in the book where she's at the nest or the cage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It's definitely very animalistic. Going with Sansa further, though, outside of this whole scene, which was a little grotesque, she also gets a little hurt. And Shay is treating her wounds. Mm. And she opens up to Shay that she hates Joffrey more than everybody else.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I don't think she ever mentions that in the books out loud.
Yeah.
She never verbalizes it. So this was a chance for her to verbalize it. So I guess so the viewers know.
And it allows Shay to have some redeeming qualities, because she's like, no, don't say that to me, don't say that to anyone. And we're like, oh, wait, you have a heart. Yeah. You're not just out for yourself. At least we feel this way at this moment.
Yes,
I felt like Shay actually delivered the homily of the show this week by saying, don't trust anyone. Life is safer that way. I felt like that was the homily.
Such an ironic scene with Shay and Sansa there. I mean, later on, Shay, well, at least in the book, Shay tends to Sansa later on, but it's just so ironic seeing those two together and the way they interact.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I like it. Do we want to talk about Tywin?
Well, let's move on to the Starks, I guess, because Tywin would be the whole Arya.
But he's a Lannister. I guess we can do it then.
Because there's a lot with Arya.
It's a little overlapping here.
It's all coming back together now.
I guess
it is.
So let's go on to the Starks. And the Starks, now we have the whole overlapping, as you said. Mm-hmm. We have Theon Greyjoy. The ocean has come and is overtaking. At least I think they called it the ocean. Is that what they refer to it as?
The ocean is coming to Winterfell.
The ocean has come to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. So, and Maester Luwin sent out a raven just in time to Rob.
Yeah, and I'm glad they kept that with that. Like, he'd written two in the books, and one of them shot down.
Yeah.
So I guess they kind of knew that in the books, at least, that he was sending them, because one got shot down, but one still escaped. So yeah, he's crafty. He does it just in time.
They had, like, Raven Patrol outside of Winterfell, apparently. Because, like, when all that crazy stuff is going on, like, who would actually think to, like, look up and, oh, better shoot that down.
I'm curious why R.R. Martin chose ravens and not pigeons.
Why not Twitter?
why not owls?
I don't know. Like, I love the owls.
I think ravens have a darker essence, maybe. Yeah.
Medieval.
The whole dark wings, dark words thing. I think it's a little more foreboding getting a message from a raven than a pigeon.
Yeah.
Pigeons are.
did ravens ever carry messages? Is that a thing?
You're the one going to medieval castles. You should know this.
I want to say yes.
Maybe you want to say yes.
I want to say
maybe
yes.
Maybe our fans could help us out with that one.
Yeah. You know how you were thinking of what we should call our fans? Yeah. Like a fan name? Ravens. I was thinking the Ravens.
I like it.
How do you guys feel about that?
I like
for
the Ravens.
The Ravens.
How about fans? You tell us what you think about being called the Ravens. Let us know. Because what was the name that you had before that nobody liked?
Thronies. That's
Thronies.
Don't talk about that. Don't mention Thronies. But I also got some other great suggestions. Fanisters, Lemon Cakers, Starkheads, I think.
So that's only like for people who like specific houses.
Yeah. That's a little specific.
Now we're getting in depth.
I feel like the Ravens are neutral.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. Hear, hear.
So let's also go on with the things that happen, which is Theon coming in, the Bran, busting in saying, "You will proclaim me to be the Lord." And then Bran says something that he only thinks in the books, but he actually asks it verbally to Theon here, which is, "Theon, did you hate us the whole time?" So he actually verbally expresses that here, and Theon just gives him a look, and that's
pretty much what Rob wants to find out, too.
Yeah, that's my main grievance with Theon, is like, yes, I get you are a hostage, but did you really hate it that bad? You lived with, you know, the highborn of Westeros. Like, was it really that bad? So
he was never treated like a hostage.
Right, exactly. He was never treated like a hostage. So, and he had brothers that he grew up with. And, I mean, this was 10 years or several years that he had to get accustomed to this lifestyle. So I'm glad that Bran vocalized that question, because mm-hmm. that's a question that I've had forever.
Like, yeah.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah. It was one of the better moments in the show.
I like
that verbal and that look mm-hmm. that he gave. Like, yeah. it allows a little bit more emotion to be expressed, and I'm glad they did it.
Did you guys remember Bran being that calm in the books when he realized that Theon was there? Because I think he
had just woken up from a dream of a wolf, and his dire wolf was trying and knew that there was someone, and he was controlling the dire wolf. And then the dire wolf got hurt trying to go and attack these attackers.
Yeah.
And he wakes up from the dream knowing that it's going to happen and it's true. And by that point, it's too late. And he's actually kind of calmed down when he sees Theon, because he thinks Theon's still on their side. And he's like, "Oh, Theon, what's happening?" And like, he kind of trusts that Theon's good still.
Okay.
I also kind of felt like Bran was sort of playing along with Theon's claim and sort of letting him pretend that he was this king, just because he didn't really feel like it was going to go any further.
Or that it would lead to Roderick Cassell's death.
Right.
Yeah.
That was like the pushing Bran out the window point.
Yeah.
No, there is an element to it that felt like it was unreal that it was happening.
Right.
I mean, something
else surreal.
I'm kind of wondering, that was a little different too, is that Reek's not here at all.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering how that's going to play out, since he was made a knight for Theon. And also, just a little difference that really didn't end up mattering, but Osha, initially, Theon's like, "If you want to be a knight, sure, what do I care?" He was totally cool with her becoming a knight in the book, or like fighting for him. So that didn't really happen, but it didn't really matter. I just want to point it out.
This was really Osha's episode, I felt.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's an amazing actress.
I wore my wildling poncho to
say. Nice. I like it. Yeah.
We got a bunch of wildlingness in this episode. Osha, and then later on, when we talk about the wall. Yeah, with Ygritte.
Yeah.
Ygritte?
I don't know. I still don't know how to say her name. Everyone says it differently.
I thought it was Ygritte.
I thought it was Ygritte. I thought it was Ygritte.
I don't know.
I think she said Ygritte. Like, she almost had a T when she said it.
Yeah.
I really felt like the Sir Roderick scene was really graphic, and I liked it as horrible as it was. I was glad that they showed everything.
This is what you've been asking for, Chris, and this is what you've been wanting, is this blood. And we got lots of guts. You should have been, like, so happy.
Can I switch seats? She's scaring me.
You got the head chopping off.
The sword is on the couch.
It wasn't one swift chop. It was multiple ones for his head. And then before, with the rape scene, you had the guts falling out.
That was
disgusting. You got the arms being ripped off.
I was not prepared for that.
they really stepped it up with this episode. It was my favorite episode.
This is
so
your
far.
Supernatural really? Episode. Yes. Wild One Izzy, that was for you. This is your Supernatural episode.
I'm still sticking with last week as my favorite, but this was pretty good.
Yeah.
I felt like Theon had never really killed anyone before. Whenever he killed him, because he kept having to do it too.
Yeah, I don't think he has.
I know he had, I think in the books he had, but it was like all just random people, because this is someone he actually knows and cares about.
Mm-hmm. He shot the wildling in the forest with Rob and Bran.
Well, I know he kills he shoots and kills with, I think, a crossbow, one of the people when they're first attacking the fisherman village in the book.
Oh, yeah,
before they come to Winterfell. So he did kill one of his own people.
Yeah, but never with a sword. Yeah.
There's something, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a hunter and gatherer. I have no idea.
You're not.
I've never shot a bow and arrow, but I imagine it had the proximity, the blood squirting. Yeah, that there has to be something
it's
in that.
It's more personal.
And, I mean, that's something that Roderick mentions. He's like, mm-hmm. you're a coward if you don't swing the sword yourself. So I love that scene because I think it really embodies how much of a coward Theon is and like how just
and let's be clear, Roderick was the one who taught him
how to
use a bow and arrow and how to use a sword.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of irony in there. He looks like he's about to throw up at the end of that scene, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he just looks spaced, and it's like he's truly lost now. Just like Roderick says, mm-hmm. the gods bless you because you're truly lost, and you can see it in his eyes. But so Osha.
But you know what? I'm going to say for the actor playing him, he did a good job portraying that emotion.
Right. It was a really big scene for Alfie Allen. Like.
Yeah, and he did a great job making that confliction there where he really didn't want to.
Yeah, that's something that you can really see in those eyes. And I mean, I'm happy for him as an actor because it was a really great scene. I think he did a great job with it, but still don't like Theon. Don't like his character.
He likes Osha.
Yeah. Osha, the little wildling slut. At least she's using it for good purposes.
I was hoping she was really coming in to save the day and distract him, and she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun scene when she snuck out.
And we're
pretty
left
awesome.
With that image of them walking off into the
that pose
with Hodor.
That she took.
Yes.
It was like
when she did the stabbing?
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, where did you come up with that?
Like, she was like making out and she's like doing this thing.
Yeah.
And then she like whips it out.
I think it was like she was like getting her knife out or something.
Yeah.
I took it as she was trying to get her knife loose while she was doing it. And then she got out and went,
I thought she was getting his knife loose. And then
vicious.
I was confused.
She was vicious. It was pretty awesome.
I love her.
I agree.
She's great.
So let's move on to Robb Stark now. Yes. To go with more Starkness with Talisa.
Talisa. Still don't know how to say her name either. Talisa.
They pronounced it Talisa. At least that's what he said.
I don't remember this part in the book. I'm very confused now.
Well, in the book.
Help me out.
She goes by a different name.
Okay.
So that's why you're confused.
Okay.
I don't know how long this alias is going to last. Mm-hmm. I still don't really know what the deal is with it, but she goes by a different name. So that's why.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
So did you guys know Una Chaplin is actually Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter?
It's crazy, right?
I didn't know that.
Well, that would mean that she's American, right?
He's English.
Oh,
and
so
he came over from England, so maybe, I don't know. I have no idea.
I always thought he was French.
Her accent is really good if she's not British.
I don't know.
I don't know, though.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So she is writing out a letter to who?
The Lannister, she jokes.
Yeah.
And saying that he's coming.
And she's a really good liar.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how those things play out as the time comes.
She might
I like
just
that
be
little banter.
Yeah.
I kind of believe that she's writing a letter to the Lannisters because someone's telling them what's up.
But as we then find, Catelyn interrupts the conversation, and she's back. So what the hell is going on with the whole Tully thing that was supposed to happen here? I don't know. I guess they're just skipping it.
At River Run?
Yeah.
Yeah,
or maybe it's going to come eventually and they're going to reverse, like switch around the order. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
they actually didn't include River on this season because it just got to be too many different locations.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're shooting in Croatia and Belfast and
Iceland.
I want to see these rivers killing people. That's what I wanted.
Whoa, what? Now you're on my side with the killing?
Hey, I'm a guy. I love blood and gore. I don't need to say it because it's obvious. I'm a guy. Of course I love that stuff.
It's just on my face.
Well, it's
come on.
The relationship between Rob and Talisa is interesting because in the book, Catelyn makes it clear that Rob is betrothed to one of the Frey daughters. Because
one of them was okay.
Yeah. There's like several to choose from, but none of them are very attractive. So Catelyn is telling him, look, you can't like be messed around with this nurse here because you have to do this. Like, this is the only way we're going to win the war. So in the book, Catelyn never gets the chance to actually talk to him about this and appeal to him. Rob just sort of is immature and does things on his own. So it's interesting to see how Catelyn is stepping in to intervene.
Also, that's Catelyn's character, too. That's her whole character is based off of that idea of duty. You do your duty. That's everything that's ingrained in
her. That's House Tully.
Yeah, that is House Tully. It's all about duty.
What is it? What's their words? Duty? I think I think they have duty in their words, in their sigil words.
Yeah. It's like family loyalty.
That's
we have to remember, isn't he still 15, 16?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it just, well, he just looks so much like a man. It's so hard to
remember. Well, in the books, he's 16, yeah. But in the show, he's older. So, I mean.
But still, I think the point is that he's not fit to be a king at this age. But the interesting thing is, when I was interviewing Richard Madden, I asked him, I'm like, do you think that Rob is fit to be king? And he says, absolutely. I think that he's...
Well, I mean, he's winning battles. He's doing better than a lot of people would.
I think so. I think he's winning battles. But when it comes to the decisions, the tough decisions that you have to make, I don't know that he's ready to make those decisions.
If you're raised by Ned Stark, you
can. Okay, that's a big decision of who are you going to be married with the rest of your life.
Simone, you have an excellent point. You do, because he, like, the choice with Theon really messes some things
right.
up.
Right, yeah.
And we're not in a democratic society where there are checks and balances. Yeah. You know, like, one choice can really knock you out of the game for the throne.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we see that he decides to send, he wants to go kill Theon himself, and then he's talked into sending troops to go defend it instead of himself.
Yeah.
But we need to move on.
To the wall.
To the wall. So, speaking of wildlings, we have Ygritte here, as we had a big attack going on, and Ghost is, we don't really know where Ghost is. He's kind of running off and not listening because, I mean, there's White Walkers out here, so Ghost is just going crazy.
But you can't teach a wild thing, they say. You have to just let them trust their instincts.
Ghost is, like, camouflaging into all that Icelandicness.
Yeah, he really is.
So it's kind of weird to me that Corran Halfhand just let John by himself to kill Ygritte.
I think it was a test.
I think he probably knows that he couldn't do it.
But it was still just like a weird, like, I mean, you're not just gonna stand there, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a super awkward moment. Like, all right, go kill her.
And she's like trying to turn him on while they're laying next to each other.
Oh yeah, she's definitely moving her hips a bit there.
Doing a little rubbish.
Her hips don't lie.
Which, it's weird that he's like, hey, go off, go kill her. Because all the other killings are so public. There hasn't really been
intimate
a problem up until this point.
I mean, go enjoy yourself, wink, wink.
I mean, she was pretty cute, so.
I think also Corran recognizes that this is going to be John's first beheading, probably. Right. I mean, he did slay the White Walker before, or whatever. So this is his first beheading. So that's like a really big like moment. Even if you are Ned Stark's son, like that's like a really, as we saw with Theon, that's like not an easy task. So I think that's probably why he left him alone to do his duty. But
that's fair. You're kind.
Interesting changes from the book, though. In the book, John just lets Ygritte go.
Yeah.
But in this, they dragged it out a little bit more, and obviously are sending them on their own sort of adventure. So who knows where that'll lead?
I think it'll lead right back to where it was in the book. I just feel like it will. They're just trying to drag it out and make some more, as you said, more drama.
Yeah.
There's some more drama that they're throwing in for us.
Yep.
So
we should move to Tywin.
Yes, let's move to Tywin and Arya, because that's where I really want to see all this drama. Yes. We have another huge change here, which is Peter Baelish coming to talk to Tywin. Peter Baelish is all over the place in this season.
He's just gone talk to everybody.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they've really shrunk down the size of Westeros, or at least tried to, because He's been everywhere. He's been to King's Landing. He's been to Renly's camp.
To Renly's camp, and now he's
now
at Harrenhal.
And now he's at Harrenhal in a matter of how many days? Like, how is he? Is he teleporting?
Yes.
Like,
I know.
He has magic, too.
Fortnite.
Yes. How can you? You wouldn't even be able to travel.
Poor magic.
Fortnite.
Poor magic. That's what it is.
I was just, like, waiting for him to recognize Arya. And did he?
I mean, he gave a look like he kept on thinking, like, do I know her? I think that's the look he was giving was, do I know you? That type of look that you give. Like, I feel like I saw you before. And then you get interrupted. But since this never happened in the books ever, I mean, people...
No.
It just would not happen. But it's still just, like, weird. Like, that's... I don't know. That was a weird way for me. Like, I don't feel like they needed that. A lot of the times that they have the characters in the show and they've done it, it feels justified to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see why you're doing that. And especially Tywin and Arya being the cupbearer for him, I see why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. It's to allow a lot of exposition through them instead of random characters we don't know. For Peter Baelish, it just seems like, what? What? How did he get there?
I think he definitely knows that she's a Stark girl, though, because there's a line where he says, I just talked to Catelyn about her daughters. So,
know,
like,
yeah,
and he's,
yeah,
like, looking at Arya as she's walking out. Not so, I don't know. I mean, we know Littlefinger has a thing for Catelyn, so maybe he's going to keep his mouth shut and not rat Arya out, hopefully. Mm. Who knows what's going to happen?
I don't think he's going to rat her out.
No.
I really like
he would have already.
Yeah. I really like the exchange when Tywin asks Arya about her father and how he died, and she's like, for loyalty. And I kind of saw in that moment that the Tywin and Ned Stark comparison. Neither of them wanted to be king. They're both very logical, and they seem like great fathers.
Well, I really do believe Tywin would not be in this war with Rob if it wasn't for Joffrey.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he wouldn't be. He's just protecting his kids.
He's a man stuck in a war who wants his son back.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I feel like we get a little bit more empathy from him.
I mean, all this is really Jaime's fault.
We have more empathy for him, is what I mean.
This entire thing is Jaime and Cersei's fault. This entire thing.
Yeah. It is, actually, when you go back to it. You know, it's funny. I think... They are, I mean, I know you have a reason why you think that Tywin, or that Arya becomes Tywin's cupbearer, but that's another reason to maybe make his character a little more likable, because definitely from last season, no reason to really like the guy. He's just...
You know what, though? When he finally, like, talks to Tyrion last season, is like, I didn't realize how smart you were.
Yeah.
You kind of get that moment, too, where he's, like, realizing things and growing, and you get character growth from him.
Maybe they're trying to add a little more.
So let's talk about Jaqen.
Right.
Hagar, killing, again, they're switching things up here for more drama. Mm-hmm. The two initial deaths were totally different in the books, but I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter that much.
No.
It's just, you just know that two people were killed and two deaths are used up. And for this sake, it was that Arya is trying to find out about Robb Stark and reading the letter, and she's discovered for reading the letter.
Yeah, Amory, I always want to call him Armory, because like the armory is where the weapons are.
Uh-huh.
Amory Lorch doesn't actually get killed for a long time in the books, but they decided to kill him off. So,
yeah, who knows what they're going to do with that?
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be the third one? That's the question.
Because really, the first two deaths in the book, the first character is one that you just met right when he gets killed, which is some asshole rapist. The second one is just the person who's in charge of the prisoners. So they're two totally random people who don't even have names, really, except for briefly in the book.
Yeah.
So... Who knows where they're going to go with that? But it'll be fun. I'm excited to see what happens with Jaqen next episode.
I love him. He's so hot.
Let's move on to Daenerys, though.
Yes.
Daenerys is with Zarozaro Doxos.
Not to be confused with Zarzo and Doxos.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that it does. I agree with Kristen.
It
sounds like duck sauce.
It
sounds
like duck sauce.
Especially
today.
And Kristen started cracking up today when he said duck sauce.
Whenever the Spice King says it, it sounds like duck sauce.
Duck sauce. But it does. It looks to me it's spelled like Doxos. That's what I would think. But what it's not Zaro Zoan Zaon to me. Now it is forever Zarozaro Doxos.
You heard it here first.
That's right. That is right. From Kristen's lips to your ears.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
You're welcome.
So what did you guys think about the exchange with the 13?
Okay. I know I said that Daenerys was overacting in the episode before last, where she's like outside the gates of Carth with the 13. I didn't think she overacted this time, which was refreshing. I thought she kind of played it a little cooler. So that's my input on that.
I mean,
that.
She's no ordinary woman.
Yeah, she's
her
no
dreams come
princess.
True.
My dreams come true, bitch.
Everyone's dreams come true in this world, in Westeros.
This is kind of where she's starting to become like her brother to me, is with her just complaining, like, I deserve the throne. I deserve to have it. And he makes a great point. You've never even been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, I used to like Daenerys a lot last season. She's coming off just kind of bitchy to me and whiny. I used to like her a lot. Not as much this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I think she has to find her in and finding her strength in her voice and when to use it. Because mm-hmm. I feel like the shouting works on stage, but it's not working right now. I feel like she's playing the intention of the lines a lot of the time. I mean, she's a lovely actress, don't get me wrong. And maybe mm-hmm. that's what they're asking of her. I don't know. Or maybe this is part of her arc. Maybe she is supposed to be difficult right now. But yeah, there are points where I'm like, ooh, you want to get what you want, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to see a little more Cersei sprinkled in with Daenerys, because Cersei always gets what she wants, basically. Well, not anymore. But but she is so even keeled and just so disturbingly so whenever she delivers her lines. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a little bit of that with Daenerys, just kind of varied in with the shouting and the demands.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just all shouting and demands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just a quick thing to point out is that I noticed that she seems to be being advised a lot by Zaro Duck Sauce instead of Jorah. Mm-hmm. And they kind of mixed it around mm-hmm. here, I think, just to give him some more time. So you get to know him a little bit better. But her dragons have been taken
yeah.
by the warlocks, by yes. Piat Pri. This is a lot different from the books, too,
totally.
Where she just goes there on her own because she's just trying to find out if they'll help her. So kind of as you said, and you pointed this out right when we finished watching Simone, it just seems like they're just trying to add more drama to mm-hmm. it.
And they killed all her men.
Which is fine. I want to see this tower. I want to see what they do.
The tower
oh, my God. It's crazy. I want to see what they do with it.
It's going to be crazy.
I don't remember the killing of all the men.
No, it's not.
Okay.
That
sorry.
Happened right after Duck Sauce said that a righteous man would not always condemn what he would
yeah.
do. And I'm like, oh, and then we open a door to dead men?
Yeah, because I don't...
Did
I,
you do this?
Yeah, because
I thought he did it at first.
Yeah,
I did too, because it wasn't yeah. in the books. And I was like, did he do this now? Or are they changing things up?
I think Zaro truly loves
her. And then I thought those guys were chasing her, and then I realized that they were still her guys, and I don't know.
Okay, only in the show, though. He doesn't at all in the books. It's only in the show.
That he loves her.
That he loves her.
Yeah.
But I think we need to get to predictions. But before we cut to commercials, I do need to say that, guys, we do this show completely for free. So if there's any way that you could help support us, we would love it. We love seeing comments. If you go on iTunes, if you listen to iTunes, rate us, comment. We love seeing it. If you go to the YouTube and you watch that way, comment and say whatever you want. Even if it's hate, that's cool. We'll listen to that too. Say whatever you want. We love reading the comments. And the other way you can support us is by going to our website, afterbuzztv.com, and going to the Amazon link at the top and buying whatever the hell you're going to buy in the first place. It is no added cost. If you just click on the link from our site, it supports us. So if you want Globies, you can get some Globies. If you want some duck sauce for your meal, go to our link.
Sansa garb, as always.
The Sansa garb.
Wildlings clothing.
And today I do not have the Jamie Lannister outfit on.
Because it's on Amazon.
Because it's on Amazon, I need to order a new one. So we are going to cut to commercial, but when we get back, we've got some predictions and a special report. So,
AfterBuzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
I want to buzz about what Kristen's about, what she's got for us.
All right, guys. So I'm going to speed through this because we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to post these special reports later on my website so you guys can read them thoroughly.
Cinematicescape.com.
There you go. Okay, so this is about George Martin, and he was a baby boomer from New Jersey, born in 1948 to a blue-collar background family. He said his family didn't even own a car. He lived in the federal projects, and he didn't travel anywhere. But they happened to live by the New York Bay, and he would see all these ships come in from China, Serbia, South America, and all these places. Westeros, the Lannisters, they all came by his house when he was younger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so anyway, he never went anywhere. So seeing these ships come in day and night, it kind of woke a hunger in him to want to see distant worlds and create distant worlds. And he would make up stories about the places he would see and transpose them to his characters. And so he took to travels in his imagination, he said, and because he wasn't able to in actual life, and he continues to do so today, he said. And I think that's really interesting background coming mm-hmm. from a writer, because his family had no money, not even a car. So now he's beautiful. Writing all these.
I mean, it just shows you how much imagination he has if he hasn't even experienced a lot of those things.
That's all he had.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Totally cool. Relatable.
Totally relatable. Not really. I had a car.
We want to thank our listeners
really
fast.
Yeah, let's thank our listeners.
iTunes listeners, Pay76, Juicy NYC, Tommy Elbredo. He doesn't really like our commercial, but we're going to keep it fresh. Maybe try to change it up.
I saw that.
I'll say, you know what? I don't like the fact that they call you guys loners or whatever, because I listen to this stuff too, and I don't think I'm a loner.
Just because
like
you don't want to talk to your coworkers. Okay.
I like my coworkers.
The silent critics, they're mad that you love Jaime.
Okay, I don't love Jaime. It's just if I'm going to be a Lannister, I look more like Joffrey maybe, if I look kind of like Joffrey because I have blonde hair. I'd rather be Jaime, okay? I don't want to be Joffrey. That's
all it is. I love Jaime, silent critics. He's one of my favorite characters.
I like his nose.
Ooh, I feel like I can't say, but later on I come to love him very much.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm just gonna say, like, I don't hate him, but it's just like I don't want to be Joffrey, okay? Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Okay,
so for the YouTube though, we do want to say real quick that we lost a lot of the commenters' names, mm-hmm. so we're doing our best for the ones who commented on the first video. Sorry if we missed your name, but thank you regardless.
Yes, and comment again, and we'll give you an extra shout out next week.
Yes,
and then Imparetti. Yes, YouTube, thank you. And Kyle Foster, he wants to know how he can help us. Go to Amazon and click on the link from our page at AfterBuzzTV.com. And yes, we do have a Facebook page. And he wants to know, for us, we all get a wish, who we want to kill.
Jaqen H'ghar wish.
If we are Arya, who do we want to kill?
Tywin.
I kind of don't want to kill Joffrey because then all my entertainment's gone. As Arya, I want to kill
him. Are you not entertained?
As a viewer, I don't want him to die because I think he's very entertaining to watch. Who do you guys want to kill?
I would want to kill Joffrey because I hate him.
I'd want to kill either, I don't know, Cersei would be a good kill because she's kind of the mind.
Queen bee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joffrey. Yep, it would have to be. The worst thing is I just don't think it's going to make anything any better because it's just getting heated at this point, unfortunately.
Can you
give me three?
I just want more, right? I just want more cow dung slung at his face. That would make me happy, too.
Mud pies. Okay. Squamish 4244. Thank you. And Tira Bytra. He says that Andy Greenwald of Grantland actually said the duck sauce called Zarazar duck sauce mm-hmm. first. I don't believe that. Who said it here first?
Tristan doesn't look at this stuff, so she was the one who said it first. I mean, she said it off her own, so if he said it, he did. But Kristen said that. She called it herself.
I'm just kidding. But come to AfterBuzz. You'll hear it first. And thank you, Sarah, 1994, Sarah. Wild One Izzy, Small Mick, Little Tiny, Wolfen 443, Catlin 098. And our fan from England, Norwich, they want us to play out a short scene from Game of Thrones.
If you want us to, tell us what scene you'd like us to play out.
Yeah, tell us what scene, and we will do it next week.
Mm-hmm. No sex position, please.
Okay. And Sean Nessel actually came up with a song for you. And here it is.
This is just for you, by the way, because you're the one who came up with this idea.
Oh, Shadow Baby. Oh, Shadow Baby.
I love it. Thank
you. Oh, Shadow Baby.
Oh, baby, baby.
Push it real good. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you so much.
Leave us songs weekly, please.
Yes.
Okay. Now for predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So it looks like we're going to see Theon starting the search for Arya, but more importantly, he's really looking for Hodor, I think. Hodor is the main one that he needs to find.
Right, yeah. Because Bran's on top of Hodor.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of can't hide him.
I said Arya, I meant Bran.
Okay. Someone's going to try to help Jaime escape. I don't know exactly who that guy was. I didn't really recognize him. And Daenerys tells Jorah to go find her dragons.
Jorah, you're not doing anything for me. What the hell?
Which looks, we know are at the House of Undying.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to check out. Yeah. I imagine it being a really dark, smoky fun house like you would go to at like a town carnival or something. Right.
I do
game for that.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm absolutely 100% ready for this.
This is just another thing with Daenerys, though, with the way that she was treating Jorah, is Jorah has helped her out so much, and at least in the coming attractions, she's so mean to him. It's just like, Daenerys, grow up!
I really like him. I hope that she...
Jorah's awesome.
Has a nice kiss with him.
Yes.
I want to take back my kill, Theon.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm still going with Joffrey. Okay. All right, guys. So that has been the show, guys. I am Dave Klein. You can follow me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That is K-L-E-I-N. Or go to my website, djk-online.com.
Okay, you can find me at BethanyJaber.com or just check out my podcast at Literary Girls Gone Wild on iTunes. Ooh.
And I'm Simone Boyce. You can follow me on Twitter at Simone Boyce or check out my YouTube channel for more Game of Thrones shows, youtube.com/SimoneDBoyce.
And I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and you can Google Cinematic Escape, Cinematic Escape, Blogspot, or CinematicEscape.com.
So
check
much
it
escaping
out.
Of cinema! And Marissa!
Where can we find you, Marissa?
I am Marissa Movies, that's M-A-R-I-S-A Movies on Twitter.
Alright! Thank you, guys. See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.